Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Radio update. Mets fans breathing a sigh of relief today. Jared DeGrom is getting paid big time. The Mets ponying up the dollars to pay the ace on a five-year extension worth $137.5 million. The contract begins in 2019, including a full non-trade clause, and contains both an opt after 2020 and then a $34.5 million option for season two in 2024. The deal, very similar to the one that Chris Sine just signed with the Boston Red Sox. DeGrom is the reigning NL Cy Young winner, going 10-9 last season, but had a sparkling 1.70 ERA and a stellar 0.91 whip. The Mets rotation looking pretty damn good. DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, Zach Wheeler, and Steven Dormatz. The Chicago Cubs have agreed to a four-year extension with pitcher Kyle Hendricks. The 29-year-old Hendricks, coming off a 14-11 season with a 3.44 ERA and a 1.15 whip. He tossed a career-high 199 innings despite losing some velocity as well. Hendricks is going to earn $55.5 million over 4 years in addition to the $7.4 million he'll earn in 2019, bringing his guaranteed cash total to $66 million through 2023. Major League Baseball has suspended San Francisco Giants president and CEO Larry Bear through July 1st without pay. The suspension stems from a physical altercation between Bear and his wife, which was caught on video back on March 1st. Conor McGregor is supposedly calling it quits from MMA. Controversial fighter leaving a late-night tweet saying goodbye to the fight game. But this isn't the first time McGregor has taken to Twitter to retire. Remember back in April of 2016, McGregor, the former two-division champ, tweeted he would retire young, only to be fighting twice just 6 months later. The 30-year-old's last fight was October 6th when he lost to Khabib Nurmagomedov. And McGregor also arrested earlier this month for allegedly smashing a man's phone outside a Miami Beach hotel. His record 21-4 going out, and problems still lingering in his home country. The fighter is still under investigation for sexual assault in Ireland. In football, Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones doesn't seem to be sweating about locking up DeMarcus Lawrence long term. Dallas placing the franchise tag on the star defensive end for a second straight year, and the two parties have until July 15th to work out a deal. The 26-year-old recording 64 tackles, 10.5 sacks, and 2 forced fumbles during the 2018 campaign. The New York Jets have officially put the number 3 overall pick in the NFL draft on the trading block. New York did trade up last year to land quarterback Sam Darnold. It cost them 3 second-round picks, including a second-rounder from this year's draft. It looks like they're going to stockpile some assets. And Gabe, your prediction for Gronk's future so far, the favorite on the board, according to sportsbooks, fighting in the WWE, Gronk is listed at the favorite at plus 150 at some books, NFL broadcaster, second at 2-1, actor, 5-1, male stripper, the big pooch, 50-1 for Gronk. NCAA hoop tournament still on the go tonight. NIT action, number 6, Wichita State, and number 1 seed, Indiana, Hoosiers -4, 138. Number 2, Creighton, and number 1 seed, TCU. The Horned Frogs of TCU laying 3.5, 151. Here's the rest of the board. Charleston Southern at Hampton. Hampton -2, 157. Presbyterian at Marshall tonight. Thundering Herd -5.5, 168.5. And FIU is at Green Bay. Green Bay -4, huge total, 179. We saw that horrible leg injury last night in Portland with Yusuf Nurkic. He's out the rest of the season after that brutal injury. Following the loss, the Blazers clinching that playoff spot for a 6th straight year. They're 4th in the West at 46-27. Busy, hectic night in the association. We have 10 games on the bill. Boston -5 at Cleveland, 216 is your over-under. We have San Antonio -4 at Charlotte, 221 the total. Orlando at the Miami Heat, Heat -4.5, 205. Chicago at Toronto, Raptors laying 13.5, 219.5. Atlanta -2.5 on the road at New Orleans, high total here, 242. Houston at Milwaukee, the Bucks are -3.5, 224. LA Clippers, they're 2.5 point favorites at mini, 231. Sacramento -1.5 at Dallas, 226 is your over under. Denver hosting Detroit, Nuggets 7.5, 212. And the Washington Wizards are at the LA Lakers, Lakers -2. 236.5, and the groups are set for Wednesday's match play tournament at Austin Country Club. Tiger Woods, a 3-time winner, he makes his return to action in a group with Patrick Cantlay, Brant Snedeker, and Aaron Wise. In the NHL, the Tampa Bay Lightning have signed head coach John Cooper to a multi-year extension. Tampa Bay on fire this year with a league leading 122 points, 21 more than the second place team with 5 games remaining in the regular season. And New York Islanders veteran forward Andrew Ladd's going to be out 5 months and miss the rest of the regular season with a torn ACL. 7 games on the ice tonight. Tons of playoff implications. Carolina at Washington. Caps laying $1.30, total six. Islanders at Columbus. Jackets minus 160, 5.5. Panthers in Montreal. The Canadiens are minus 190, over under six. Buffalo at Ottawa, Buffalo minus 126. The Kings in Edmonton, Oilers laying 210, 6 flat. Anaheim taking on Vancouver, the Canucks minus 135.5. And Arizona hosting Chicago right now, the Coyotes minus 125, over under 6. Stay tuned, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morenci hosts Red Heat and Rage. Coming up next, Long Island George Kurtz stops by and a whole lot more. Picks, DFS, we got everything that you need. Red Heat Rage Radio coming up now.
Join the experts live on the air every day by calling in at 844-843-6879 to join the Fantasy Sports Network.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's do this thing. Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart Radio, now on YouTube as well. I am Gabe Morenci. Throwing it down to Weehawk in New Jersey. Hopefully a turkey vulture doesn't fly into my window happened to Stephen A. Smith earlier in the day. But, hey, it's been one of those type of days today. Conor McGregor, we woke up to Conor McGregor. He must have been on a late-night bender. I've been there. Hey. Who hasn't tweeted while wasted before saying that they're not doing this anymore? So I'm not buying Conor McGregor's retirement. If you recall, a month ago or so, we spent like a whole show talking about Conor McGregor being accused of sexual assault in Ireland. And it never really went anywhere. No one really talked about it. We did because we knew the case to be allegedly true. And if you recall, I talked about how they have heavy libel laws there. You can't, like, they don't say your name until, like, you're found guilty. Like, if you get arrested, they don't put your name out there. You actually have to get found guilty in court, and then they'll say who it is. So they're just stating that it's
fair.
An Irish sportsman. And that's right, Cam. Well, I guess, yeah, innocent until proven guilty. They have pretty strong libel laws in Ireland. But the New York Times has now jumped on the story and confirmed the story just a couple hours ago. Michael Avenatti is tweeting away as well right now. And I don't know. He's going to tweet his way right into the jail because he got out yesterday pretty quickly after about 7 hours of detainment. And already now I'm seeing from about 10, 15 minutes ago, the feds are stating that they want to bring him in again. They think that his bail should be revoked. And he's on a tweet storm right now, trying to bring down Nike, trying to bring down every college basketball program. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work. They're too big to fail, and he's going to find that out, Cam.
You bring up good points, Morenci. I enjoyed your tweet, too. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Dateline NBC and stuff. But when you don't mess with the big networks, you say it. What's the sponsor? Cialis, or, you know, another drug for your heart or whatever. You know, you got some problems here performing? You don't mess with these guys. They run the television show. You'll find out. Can't beat them.
Unless he's like Celino and Barnes and he starts buying a hell of a lot of airtime, then, yeah, they're not going to mess with Nike.
No way. Be gone.
And things say you're the man until you're not the man.
He's not the man.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope. And type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage on radio. iHeart Radio. Now with video on YouTube as well. I'm Gabe Morenci. Throwing it down in New York, New Jersey, Cam Stewart in Toronto, Ontario. Very, very busy day We've got like real sports stories. We've got fluff. We've got gossip. We've got adultery. We've got accusations. We've got retirements. We've got potential jail time. We've got creepy porn lawyers. You name it, we got it. We spoke to Dick Vitale earlier this morning. Oh, Dickie V, baby.
Hey, what are you doing, Gabe?
It's awesome, Cam. It's awesome,
hey,
baby.
Love it, man. My favorite time of the year.
He started crying.
Did he really?
He started crying.
Like real tears?
Yes.
Why?
Yes, yes. I thought Cam, he was going to retire. And I was thinking, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, is Dick Vitale about to retire on our show for some reason? And like,
oh,
not
that'd
on
be
ESPN?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello,
he's like, yeah. I've been doing this a long time, guys. And you know, hold on, I'm getting choked up. And he starts getting choked up and stuff. He's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, like, next week.
Oh, awesome.
And, like, the only other people to get it were, like, Al McGuire, Vin Scully, Howard Cosell. Like, he's, like, oh, he
Legend.
Started crying. Yeah, he started crying. So we're going to replay the interview with Dick Vitale a little bit later on in the show. It was great stuff with Dick Vitale. We had Eric Montrose on, too. He was really good, too, but we can't replay everything.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, we'll share some of the other story that he told. So, yeah, we had a banging show today. Talk, you know, college basketball. We've got Major League Baseball set to begin. Let's bring in George Kurtz in right now. And I don't think George cares that A-Rod is a snake, right? And that he's hitting on Playboy models, despite the fact he's getting married to Jennifer Lopez. What's up, George?
Listen, I don't really feel bad for anybody who marries a superstar in any field, whether it's, you know, baseball, football, sports, media. I mean, as far as sports players, they're on the road so many times of the year. They got women throwing themselves at them, and yeah, they're going to be faithful. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't really feel sorry for either Jennifer Lopez or A-Rod. They both sort of, you know, it's not, you know, as I stated earlier, what lasts longer? Like, you know, will the Expos be back before they break up? I say no.
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 Like, I'll
give him
no.
I'll give him 2 years. I'll give him 2 years. I'll give him 2 years. But yeah, it's been one of those days. We got a little bit of something of for everybody. But we know that George Kurtz diehard into baseball, and baseball season set to begin. I want to throw some props at you guys. Actually, I was going to say it's never too early, but hell, the season starts in about 48 hours, so we better start taking a look at some of these props if anyone wants to get in on these. But I look forward to your guys' take on this, especially, you know, we'll start with you, George. You're a hockey guy. You're not a basketball guy, but I don't know if you heard the story. So Devin Booker last night, kid on the Phoenix Suns, he's got 59 points. He's got 59 points in the game. We should note that his team is losing by like 33 points, okay? I don't even know. He's their best player. Why is he still on the court? Who knows? Because he's padding his stats. So he's got 59 points. Utah's winning the game like 125-92 type of thing. It's in Utah. And he's on the court because he wants to get to 60. And the Utah Jazz purposely fouled somebody else so he wouldn't get the opportunity to get 60 points. People are saying that the Utah Jazz are petty and were petty bitches, for lack of a better term, for fouling another player to not let him get to 60. George, your take.
I think they got a point. I mean, I can understand doing all you can to stop him from getting 60, but not purposely fouling another player to get that other player points and not Booker. I think that's pretty cheesy. You know, I think I didn't hear about this, but when you started going about it, I thought it was going to be the other way. They were letting him score so he can get higher and higher, a certain total, sort of like when Brett Favre, you know, pretty much took a needle at straight and get the sack record. That's where I thought you were going with this, but instead of being the opposite way. Yeah, I think it's I think you stop him all you can on the court. You know, you play some strong defense. You want to put two guys on, leave somebody else wide open. I really don't have a problem with that either. But just to foul somebody else in a game you're winning by, would you say, 33 points? Yeah, I do think that's kind of cheesy.
Cam, your take.
I got no problem with it, Morenci. The guy already scored you during the game. You know what I mean? Don't let him get there. It seems like a cheesy play, but you don't want to be embarrassed as an organization if you want to foul him. I don't have a problem with that either. A lot of the time, You know, Gabe, you watch these games on a nightly basis. Lines are getting inflated anyway. I got no problem with the team saying, no, we're not going to get schooled and we don't want to be a headline. I don't have a problem with it at all. Everyone
really? 59 is better than 61? What's the difference?
It's a big difference. 59 and 61. It's optics, George. Optics.
I'm with Cam, and I'm surprised, George, that you being a hockey guy, that you don't think that he's showboating.
Running up the score, yeah.
He is showboating. The guy's down by 33 points.
They were on the losing team, weren't they?
Yeah, but he's all he's concerned about. Exactly.
Those
what
points.
A joke. The guy's
that
losing by 33
worse.
Points, and all you're worried about is your stats. Yeah. It's like, no, kid, screw you. You're not getting 60 on us. And if I'm Utah, I don't want this punk getting 60 on me either. I don't want to hold. Remember that night he scored 60 against the Utah Jazz? It does make a difference between 59 and 60. If it didn't.
I'm all about winning.
I get it. I get it. But look in hockey. People in hockey, they don't even, players don't like, you're a bad guy if you try to score in an empty net, essentially. It's sort of like, yeah, he always does that, trying to pad his stats. You know what I mean? Like, in hockey, it's supposed to be the good guy on the team that gets the empty net goal. It's like, yeah, you could just fire it in if you're Ovechkin, but we know what you're doing here. It's like, no, let the third liner get it. Let the guy that's been working hard, let him pump into the empty net.
Empty net goals for the Leafs? Zach Hyman.
Exactly.
He's the guy. Tavares and Matthews.
Let the other guys eat a bit. You don't do it. And I guarantee you, if Austin Matthews could, you know what I mean? He could put an empty net in a heartbeat. Bang. He knows. He's going to look like a dick if he does it. So he's got to score his goals the real way. And it's just a different culture. Look, in hockey, if you got 3 goals, fine. You got a hat trick, good for you. You know, you got 4 goals, you got 5 goals, and then you're firing empty nets and stuff. You get your head taken off.
But that's different. You have guys on the winning team. They're rubbing it in. If you're on the losing team, I don't care if you score 80 points. You lost the game. Who cares?
I'm with the Utah Jazz here. I think the fact that the Phoenix Suns are upset about this says all you need to know about the Phoenix Suns. Yeah. That who cares? He scored 70 points in a game last year. Good for you. And, you know, whatever. You still suck. Yeah. And the thing is, what bothers me even more now is I talked about this on the morning show, and I read like people saying, oh, just imagine if he wasn't on Phoenix, how good he is. Oh, if he was only on a good team. And I'm just seeing right now, in the background, I have Rachel Nichols' NBA show on. And they're like, is Devin Booker's talent being wasted in Phoenix? Dude, you're not allowed to take 38 shots if you're on the Toronto Raptors. It's easy to get 59 points when you're on a piece of crap team that's losing by 38 points on the West Coast that plays the highest totals in the league every night. Like, he's a stat monster. He's not like some great player, this kid. He's a stat monster. I don't want him on my team.
It sounds like these are two different arguments. I'm arguing the fact that the play went for 59 to 60. You're sort of arguing that he's showboating on a losing team. That's a completely different topic here. I wasn't going that direction. I'm just talking about a guy scoring on a losing team. I don't care. If I was playing on the other team, I don't care.
Yeah, but I'm saying that if you're down by 30, 33, and you're the Phoenix Suns, and you've won 8 games all year, whatever, you shouldn't care about what your stats are. Like,
he shouldn't care about winning the game.
Yeah. Cam, he shouldn't have even been on the court. He's their best player. Why is he on the court in the 48th minute of a game they're down by 33 points?
An excellent point. Yeah, no, you want to spread around the wealth. You want to get other guys in there. That's the world that we live in. Me and George talk about it sometimes on the weekend too, right, George? Like players, winners versus guys who pat their stats, guys in the team that do little things. And it's just that's the society, Gabe. When we look at sports now, though, that's what people are all about. I'd rather be on a winning team and do, like, my job, get way less points and win as a team. I couldn't care less. Championships? Not going to get them on that team.
It's the stats, right? That's what kids are into. Joel Embiid said Will Chamberlain is the best player ever because Michael Jordan never scored 100 points in a game.
100 points. It's crazy.
That's how he judges it, right? All right. Game time decisions continue.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Last night when I went to bed, the story was the New York Mets and the insaneness of them going to Syracuse for today's workout. Noah Syndergaard, of course, yesterday called out the organization for the ridiculousness of them going to Syracuse, and also said, and oh, by the way, why don't you freaking pay Jacob DeGrom? So their plane actually got stuck on the tarmac last night for 3 hours. And Noah Syndergaard did a Q&A on Twitter with fans, and it was actually pretty freaking funny. And I'm thinking, wow, what a circus. You know, the Mets, you know, every time you try to sort of, you know, be positive about the New York Met franchise, somehow they take a couple of steps back and they do it to themselves with self-caused drama. Yet here we are right now, about 24 hours later, and, you know, they paid Jacob DeGrom. George, you know, the New York Mets, known for their dysfunctionalness, known at times for their tightness. Tightness. Like what the old lady say about the owner of the Phoenix Suns. She goes, "You're so tight, you squeak when you walk."
You know, the funny thing is, business-wise, it actually made sense for the Mets not to sign DeGrom yet. I mean, he was not in the same category as Verlander and Sale, which everybody was comparing him to. Verlander and Sale were both going to be free agents at the end of the year. DeGrom's not. You know, he would have been a free agent at the end of next year, so he would have been in their situation next spring training. So business-wise, they shouldn't have done this because it really made very little sense, with the exception of what you guys just brought up, the fact that Perception is that they're cheap, that they don't sign anybody. This alleviates some of that. And, you know, you bring up that plane ride. Was that like the last straw here where the Mets are like, you know what, we need some good publicity here. We can't keep, after this plane ride, Noah Syndergaard torching us all over social media. Yeah, let's sign DeGrom and nobody will talk about that anymore.
True. Well, it's hard. It's hard to rip. Exactly. It's hard for us to rip on the Mets about the plane. It's like, well, shut up, man. They just gave the ace the money he wanted, all right?
Yeah.
And it calms the room down a lot. I'm seeing now the Daily News is reporting that it was a hard sell. That Brody Van Wagenen, the new general manager, of course, the player agent, the new general manager of the Mets, said it was a hard sell to get the Wilpons to do this so quickly like this. But
shocking.
I think Brody probably sold them. Listen, I really think we have a chance, but we're not going to have a chance if the room is negative and thinks that you don't support the room. As you stated, they put this fire out real fast, this whole Syracuse stuff. If not for Jacob DeGrom right now, everyone's still talking about them being in Syracuse right now, George.
Of course, because it's a good idea to do that. If that was the final straw here, you know, they were debating on it. Well, do we want to sign? Do we not want to sign? And then, like I said, you have this plane ride thing, and you get this off the back page. And you think about it. You want to go to football here. The best thing to happen to Robert Kraft was Rob Gronkowski retiring, because now everyone's talking about this rather than Robert Kraft at the owners' meetings. We all like the next new toy, the next new news cycle, and that's what we're into now. We forgot about the plane. We're on to DeGrom. We're not talking about Kraft. We're talking about Gronk. It's why I'm a conspiracy theorist guy. I wonder, you know, the Patriots said they didn't know, but I wondered, like, you know, Gronk, if you're all going to retire, can you do it at the owners' meetings? Do it on the first day of the owners' meeting so we don't have to worry about this. I think this shit happens all the time.
Well, he just pled not guilty a couple hours ago as well. And that's getting covered up by the Michael Avenatti news, right? Yeah, you know, it's like, whatever. We already know Kraft got a hand job. Avenatti's, like, tried to shake Nike down for $22 million, Cam.
No, I'm with George on this one. And in today's world, Gabe, you know, you're more of a social media maven than I am. You know, I'm just kind of getting in there doing my little thing. But I believe that. George is absolutely right. Every time there's negative stories now, they come up with something else. I think these things are planned. By the way, Morenci, I checked your odds for Gronk. You're absolutely right. Gronk to become a WWE wrestler is the favorite at the sports books at plus 150. 2-1 is what else is he doing? NFL broadcaster, that's not happening. And 5-1 legitimate actor. So I'm going to go with WWE at plus 150 as well. Good pick.
I can't see him being a broadcaster either, just because I don't think he's sophisticated enough to break down the game in that manner. Except, yep. I've heard people say, I've been reading about him, like people that like know him and teammates, and they say that he's actually not as sort of jockish as he comes across.
Yep.
They're saying that it's sort of like it's a little bit of a character, that he has a more serious side to him. What I would say is if you're ESPN, I don't think it'd be crazy to make a call to him. Imagine Gronk on College Game Day.
Yeah, no, that's why 2-1 Gronk for that type
he played
of
at Arizona.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Played at Arizona. You know, he's a college-type guy, young guy, 29 still. Imagine him on the campuses with Kirk Herbstreit, hey, guys, and Gronk.
Hey, Gronk! Gronk, keg! Yeah. Drink from the keg, Gronk!
Yeah.
And George, and Gabe, you guys saw the Family Guy episode where Gronk moves into the neighborhood? He's basically, he's doing cannonballs, shotguns. He takes our, and even Peter's like, Gronk, I used to love to party till I met you, you prick. Like, he was, like, keeping them up all night. Like, he wouldn't stop, right? Hi, would you like to try this drink? Endorsed by Gronk. Yeah, it was awesome. Great episode. But Gronk is that guy. Oh, it's Morenci, you got to check it out. It's a classic Family Guy episode where Gronk moves into the neighborhood. But I will say this. I think that it would fly on College with the kids because he's that kegger type of guy. Yeah, shirt off. Let's party. You know, he's like Gronk the Tank, like Frank the Tank. He wants to rip it. Right, George?
Yeah, I don't know if I see him doing any kind of weekly show where he has to prepare and every weekend he has to be in a certain location. I don't think he wants to make that kind of commitment yet. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't.
I think he wants to have fun and live and do everything else he wants to do. This is not saying he couldn't do it. I'm not really degrading Gronk. He was my favorite NFL player. I just love the way he played the game, the fun, the enthusiasm, the way he was. To me, that was fun. I enjoyed that. But I just don't know if he wants to make that commitment. Sort of like Peyton Manning doesn't want to make that commitment to where every Monday night he's got to be in Dallas, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and prepare for that. I don't think Gronk wants to yet either. I think maybe down the road we could talk about this. But for now, I see him doing something more outside of professional or college football.
What about your boy Tony Romo? He wants a lot of bread. Like, I know he's the guy and everything. $10 million? Holy jeez, man. Guy's playing in golf.
Good to be Romo.
This week too.
He's making $4 million a year right now. So he signed a three-year deal, $12 million. $4 million a year. So he's a free agent after next year, Tony Romo, a television free agent after next year. I really sincerely doubt CBS let him get to free agency because ESPN would come hard after Tony Romo to get him on Monday Night Football, just like as George just alluded. They've offered that type of money to Peyton Manning before because Peyton Manning would be great at that. You know, he's really funny, Peyton Manning. He's great. He knows football inside out, X and O's. He's a genius, and he's got a sense of humor. So Peyton Manning, you know, could almost be like the new Don Meredith, actually. And they know it, but Peyton has so much money already, as George stated. People think you just sort of show up on Monday Night Football. You don't. Like, you got to get there a couple of days before. You got to go to a bunch of meetings and production this. And there's a lot of work that goes into it. So Tony Romo's getting four, and word is he's going to want 10. And he's actually worth it, guys. It turns out, and I was surprised to find out how much money Troy Aikman makes, but Troy Aikman, guys, gets $7.5 million a year.
Ooh. He'll get it. If he goes to free agency, he'll get it. I think CBS will end up signing him for less than that, maybe, I mean, $8 million instead of 10. Yeah. You know, that's just generally the way negotiations work. You don't get what you the exact number you want. And maybe
he asked for 12.
Sign. I don't know if he asked for 12 and get 10.
12.
That's probably what he should have done. You know, get that. But I think he'll get it from somebody. And obviously, CBS does not want to let him go. You said it, Gabe. If he were to get for free agency, I mean, ESPN would gobble him up in a minute. Well, how much do you want, Tony? Here's a blank check. How much do you want? Right now,
he'd be hotter.
Football,
Yeah, he's hotter as a free agent than he ever would have been as a football player. Like, he's going to make as much money, if not more, over the years. He's still young, right, as long as he wants to do this. What's crazy about Tony Romo, you talk about Gronkowski being your favorite player. Now, listen, Tony Romo's never been my favorite player, but hard not to respect this guy and what, you know, he's got going on in his life. He was a damn good quarterback in the National Football League. He's hooked up with some pretty hot chicks over the years.
Playing on the PGA Tour this week.
Good golfer. He's playing golf. And he's instantly became a celebrity broadcaster and is like a natural fit at it. He's like better at this than he was at being a quarterback. Like, he's a natural fit at this. And honestly, I honestly think that if he wasn't doing this, he could be on the PGA Tour camp. I actually have confidence in the game that much. I know it's hard to get over that last couple of strokes. Yep. Like, we saw John Schmoltz couldn't. My grandfather was damn good, and the same thing. Like, my grandfather used to be able to shoot par all the time and a couple under. And, you know, he wanted to be on the senior tour. And he basically
told me, it's short game game. It's
tough. He said, I can't, he goes, I can't get to 65. He goes, I can't shave off these extra four. And then he was talking about under pressure and stuff. But a lot of guys can't do it. But Romo could, I think. Like, he's so close and he's still so young. I think if Romo played golf and dedicated himself all the time, he could be a pro golfer.
I agree with that, and we'll see this week, too, because the WGC, all the best players in the world are in the match play in Austin, Texas, whereas the guys fighting for their card and guys who didn't qualify are playing in this tournament. Tony Romo's been close before. If he can just get it going, if he makes the cut, Gabe, oh, my God, the story's going to blow up, and it's a very, very weakened field, so he has a good chance this time around.
All right, I see Antonio Brown is mouthing off on Twitter, but
I'm
what
done.
Else?
Oh, yeah, oh, don't even God. Cut. Me and George on Saturday, I'm done with this guy. He's the worst troll going. I hate what you did to the city of Buffalo. You're ripping on the city to saying the Bills suck, Buffalo blows, oh, I'm in Oakland. Screw you, Antonio Brown. You know what I mean? The way you talk about it, you don't even know. You've never even been there before. And this guy's trolling on a team that was just trying to pick him up. Gabe, be happy your team didn't get this guy. Be happy. Don't worry about him. In Oakland, it's going to be an absolute disaster.
Screw him.
It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. I would way rather have Odell Beckham than this clown.
Oh, a million times more.
I see this when Antonio Brown just tweeted, do not listen to any NFL player who hasn't gotten paid yet. They'll do and say anything to make sure they can get paid, even if it's compromising integrity or anything. Sad but true. It's like, yeah, now Antonio Brown is the poster child for integrity with NFL players. Guy shows up in a fur coat on the last game of the year.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
With all 30 major league, sorry, Gabe, I was just going to get the old read here, buddy. With all 30 major league baseball teams playing this Thursday, hey, it's time to swing for the fences playing daily fantasy baseball with DailyRoto.com, who's looking to make someone their eighth millionaire winner. If you're playing MLB DFS on DraftKings or FanDuel and not using Daily Roto to set up your lineups, you're doing it wrong. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and get your lineups, alerts, and weather updates, fantasy projections, and the use of lineup optimizers that have already produced millions in winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get your special discount today. Back to you, Gabe.
Yeah, sorry about that, Cam. I got put off
Babano. No problem. Oh, he's texting you on his special phone?
No, he's not texting me. I just see him tweeting weird stuff about Ace of Base being the best band ever and stuff. Threw me off.
Yeah.
Ace of Base.
I saw the sign.
The sign that opened up George Kurtz's eyes. He saw the sign.
Look, I just tweeted you guys the picture of the mound that they worked out on today, the Mets.
It's like a sandbox.
Look at that mouth.
You know, when I first saw that picture I saw that picture earlier from a distance. I'm like, were they going to play that game, you know, that beanbag game? You throw it in a hole? Because that's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's called cornhole.
Cornhole, right? Cornhole. I thought they were going to play cornhole. I mean, yeah, cornhole. He said Thor said they weren't playing a game. They were just having a workout. So maybe they could play cornhole to get everybody, you know, introduced to each other.
Guys, even me, I thought they'd do a better job than this to just stick it like this brutal. Sort of like thing out here.
That's awful.
It's good.
Yeah,
good.
I don't want my new $30 million a year pitcher pitching on that.
No. It's probably a good idea. All right, George. So baseball set to begin. We've got some baseball props up here up the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll blast through them. American League Most Valuable Player, Mike Trout +200. Mookie Betts +450. Aaron Judge +750. Bregman 14-1. Gary Sanchez 14-1. I don't think Gary Sanchez is winning the MVP. George Springer 14-1. Giancarlo Stanton 18-1. Carlos Correa 20-1. Francisco Lindor 20-1. Any thoughts on the MVP situation coming out of the American League according to these odds?
Well, we all know Trout's going to be at least top three, right? I mean, he might get screwed out of it because the Angels probably won't make the playoffs again. So I think there's some legitimate reason not to go Trout, plus it's +200. So I would be fine with that. Mookie Betts sort of in the same situation. We know he'll be there. When I bet the MVP, I'm going for a long shot here. You know, if I'm going to put 50 bucks down, I'll see what happens there. I'm thinking George Springer. A guy who's not—he's not getting a lot of love in fantasy drafts this year. He's fallen to a third, fourth round in leagues. But I like Springer, Houston team that should win that division fairly easily. Not a lot of pressure on him. It's a team we don't hear that much about. But I like George Springer. The Yankee players are all going to cancel each other out. Stanton, Judge, even if Sanchez—I don't know how he's 14-1, but even if he was, they'll all cancel each other out. They all should have big years. And Lindor, as much as I like him, he's already hurt. That already puts him behind the eight ball. I'd go Springer.
J.D. Martinez is 20-1, Cam, but he sort of had a career year last year. Great player. Jose Altuve is 20-1. Jose Ramirez is 20-1. Chris Davis, 30-1 out there in Oaktown. Andrew Benintendi, 40-1. Matt Chapman, 40-1. Nelson Cruz, any opinion on the MVP here, Cam? I think it's between Trout and Betts. And the media seems to like Betts a lot. And I know they like Trout, but Betts is a pretty trendy guy. If I had to bet this, +450. I wish I was getting better odds, but I'd roll the dice with Mookie Betts. Trout's a great player, but I think Mookie Betts is right there with him as the best player in the American League.
Oh, I like where you're going with Betts, but I think I am going to go with Trout, Gabe, for the fact that, you know, he's getting that big deal. It was great that, you know, the baseball market was low and the Angels got in there. The one question is health. We always know there's an issue with Mike Trout, but if he does stay healthy with this new contract, I think he's going to be happy. The Angels did some good things. I think there's some positive vibes there, and he stays healthy. I'm going to go with Mike Trout. You talk about war and all the other categories. Kurtz and I are breaking it down on the weekend, too. Just Mike Trout, it's amazing that the Angels actually locked this guy up, and I think he's going to deliver. Stay healthy, he wins, but I like your Betts pick, and I like Kurtz's long shot pick for value, too. Good selections.
A guy I'm looking at in the National League here is the same guy that I think there's value to hit the most home runs in the National League. But we'll start off with the MVP. So you got Bryce Harper's favored to win the MVP with the Philadelphia Phillies at +350. Nolan Arenado is 6-1. Paul Goldschmidt's 10-1. Charlie Blackman's 14-1. Christian Yelich is 14-1. Justin Turner, 14-1. Freddie Freeman, 17. Chris Bryant, 17. Manny Machado, 17. Hoskins, 17. Rizzo, 20. Javier Baez, 20. And then we get into some of the longer shots here. Cody Bellinger, 30-1. We got Joey Votto, 30-1. The kid on the Braves is 30-1. But I think Nolan Arenado at 6-1, guys. I expect Arenado to have a killer monster season. I think he can hit the most home runs in the National League as well. What do you think of the National League, George?
The problem with Arenado is too many voters won't give him the nod because of the Coors Field effect. They give him a minus for that. So he'd have to have a season so much better than everybody else to get that vote. I'm not saying it's the right thing. I'm just saying that's how voters look at it. So I can't, if I'm going to bet, I'm not going Arenado. I think the National League is much tougher, really, to quantify than the American League. Trout or Betts I mean, they're the odds-on favorite by far in the American League. The National League, I think everybody you just named there, or just about everybody, has a legitimate shot there. I said with Cam, I said I was going off the board when Cam and I talked about it. You actually named my player, though. I'll stick with Chris Bryant. He was hurt last year. I think his swing was all screwed up. He's not hurt this season. I like the 17-1 odds. I think Cam and I got 20-1 over the weekend on him.
Yep.
So I'll go with Chris Bryant, but you can make an argument for every one of those guys. I like Hoskins as well. Acuna was the guy in Atlanta whose odds are very good as
Acuna,
well.
Acuna, 30-1,
second year player.
That's crazy.
Second-year player. Maybe there are adjustments that need to be made there.
But I
Christian Yelich could have a nice year, Cam, at 14-1. Wouldn't surprise. He's going to have a big year this year.
Yeah, my buddy, you know, Vizine Vince is very high on the Brewers, Gabe. I talked to Kurtz, though, and just going through their bullpen situation, some injuries there. They're going to have to score a lot of runs to win. But Acuna at 30-1, I know they talk about the sophomore jinx, but at that price, I think you got to put like 20, 30 bucks on that thing. Gets interesting. What, 30 bucks, 900 bucks, 30-1 for a player like that? I think that's well worth the risk. When you're throwing out numbers like that, he has a talent range of like 8 to 15-1, and you're giving more than double. I think that's well worth a sprinkle, Morenci. Give me Acuna at 30-1. Too much value.
National League Cy Young Award winner, Jacob DeGrom, plus 250. He got the money today, and he got the 5-year extension, and he's also the favorite to repeat here. He's the favorite at plus 250, co-favorite with Max Scherzer. Aaron Nola, who me and Cam were high on a couple of years ago to win over 10.5 games, it was free money. I think this is a little bit of a reach for him to win the Cy Young. Clayton Kershaw is not going to pitch enough. He's already hurt.
Nope.
Noah Syndergaard, 10-1. You got Patrick Corbin now with the Nationals, 18-1. Walker Buehler also banged up, although he's supposed to be pitching this weekend, I believe. 26. Kyle Freeland, 30-1. Madison Bumgarner, 30-1. And then, Greinke, 30. Wood, 50. Archer, 50. And then a bunch of other guys. Kurtz, what do you think of the National League, Cy Young?
This is the AL MVP all over again. We know who the two favorites are. That one of them is probably going to do it. And if the AL saw MVP, it's Betts and Trout. Here it's Scherzer or DeGrom here. I think I'll go with Scherzer. Last year was DeGrom. I'll just give the other guy a turn this year. As much as the other guy, no one sticks out to me as a great long shot. Actually, I kind of like Thor at 10-1 as well. I wonder if he picks up his game.
That's the one
year.
I like. You know, that's the one I like.
Right, a lot of talk there, 10-1. I wouldn't mind putting some money on that for Thor. But I think here is, once again, you go chalk, either Scherzer or DeGrom. I'll go Scherzer.
Cam, you like Thor at 10-1,
oh,
Noah
yeah.
Syndergaard?
I think that's a great play. At 10-1 on the board, Gabe, I thought he'd be probably around, 6-8. I think 10 is a little bit of value right there. DeGrom gets the money, all the hype, but I think Syndergaard could even grow as a pitcher more. Stays healthy. I really, really like that. Got to love the Mets rotation, man. You throw in Wheeler, too. Exciting times for the Mets.
My dart toss would be Walker Buehler. Man, he looked real good last year, guys.
He did.
Buehler.
He did.
Buehler.
Buehler.
Not sure he throws enough innings, though. That's the problem there. They
might
be very cautious with him.
Yeah,
that's a good call.
The thing. But, George, the capability is there, like, for Buehler to go 18-5. You know what I mean?
Oh, he's great. Yeah. He's going to be great.
Yeah. Does he get the strikeouts? Scherzer and DeGrom? Probably not. I'm understanding at 26-1. It's a big number right there. The American League is a little bit more wide open, as you mentioned. DeGrom and Scherzer, it's pretty much a two-man race right there. The American League is different. Chris Sale's arm, sort of wears out as the years go on all the time. He's plus 350. Corey Kluber, I've never been a massive Kluber guy, to be honest. I like him. I get it. But, I've never really, really loved him. Severino, we've got injury concerns. Gerrit Cole, 10-1. Justin Verlander, this guy seems to be ageless, man. He's at 10-1. Carlos Carrasco's at 12-1. James Paxton. Look, I think Paxton's going to fit into the Bronx, but I don't think he's winning the Cy Young. What do you think, George, of the American League?
Yeah, see, the American League is more wide open. I agree with you about Sale. He breaks down, and he'll miss 2 to 3 weeks someplace in August, September, so they can get resting for the playoffs. Kluber's almost the same thing. He slows down as the season goes on as well. So I'm not going for those two. I think it's between the Astros guys, Cole and Verlander, although I do like Carrasco as well. Verlander, I mean, I think I'd go Cole. I'm going with the contract. He needs a new contract, right? Playing for a contract. So I'm going to go with the playing for a contract theory here that he'll have another massive year heading into free agency unless the Astros lock him up. Give me Cole, but I like Verlander as well. And Carrasco's not that far behind. I'd have him in that order.
Cam?
Got to like that. Kurtz finds value, Gabe. I've learned about that, about Kurtz on the weekend. He gets those really big underdogs that I like, the dog pound. I'm going to go with Verlander, though. I think he's just he got his extension. He's going to be ready to go. The guy's a horse, Morenci. What can he do? At first, we thought he was done with Detroit, and he gets better and better all the time. He's just one of those guys. He's a freak. Great team, too. The Astros are going to roll. Verlander's a little bit chalky, but I think he's the pick.
I you know what I like about Verlander at 10-1? Just the fact that the media is back on his bandwagon. A couple of years ago, he was done. And, you know, don't forget who votes for this, right? It's not the players. It's the media. And Verlander gets along well with the media. He's been around forever. If he pitches well, I think they'll want to give him a reward for it. 18-1 for Blake Snell. You know, maybe he throws together some sick numbers here. It's going to be tough for him to win with Tampa, but Blake Snell at 18-1. You know, here's an interesting prop, actually. Which pitcher will win the most games this year? Which is different than winning a Cy Young Award. Chris Sale, plus 650. Max Scherzer, plus 650. Corey Kluber, 8-1. Severino, 10-1. DeGrom, 13-1. See, this is where you get the dichotomy, guys, because, look, DeGrom, best pitcher, favorite to be the best pitcher in a Cy Young, but not to win the most games. So you want to be on a good team. Who wins the most games? Chris Sale? Severino at 10-1? I don't know, how
Where's
long is
Nola?
He going to be out for?
Severino's out. What's Nola?
Well, it won't be Severino. He's out until he's May, out. So he's already out.
Yeah.
Right. It can't be him.
Win a lot of
it's
got to
be somebody on a good team playing in a so-so division, right? You want to.
Well, Chris Sale, 650 with Boston, but he's the favorite. Washington probably won't, you know, Scherzer, I think Scherzer could probably win the most games here, to be honest. He goes long.
That's a tough division, man. That's a lot of games against Philadelphia, Mets, Braves, teams that could, I'm not saying they can beat him, but a lot of 2-2 games in the seventh where he's out. He doesn't get a win there. I think he gets screwed.
Kluber's 8-1, I'm looking Severino. At guys, look, they got Severino as the fourth choice, though.
Where's your boy
That's
Bueller?
That's nuts. That's nuts.
Bueller's 36-1.
Wow. Easier division. Something to think about.
Garrett Cole, 30-1.
There'll be an innings limit on Bueller. They'll remove him from starts.
All right, we got a couple of minutes with Kurt, so we'll wrap it up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage on Radio. Incredibly quick first hour of the program here. We appreciate George Kurtz for joining us. We're going old school in the second hour. A man we haven't had on since like the hardcore sports radio days, actually. Aged like a fine wine, Cam. Rob Vino.
Vino! Are you a Chardonnay? Are you a Chardonnay? Or what type of wine? I like a red wine, Gabe. Nice full-bodied red.
Yeah, Rob Vino used to be with sportsmemo.com.
That's right.
And now he's been around all these years, but now with wagertalk.com. So Rob Vino will join us at the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk some Sweet 16. Take a look at tonight's card as well. But we'll talk some NCAA basketball. Last prop that we hit with Colonel Kurtz on the way out here. Most regular season home runs. Giancarlo Stanton, 6-1. Aaron Judge, 9-1. J.D. Martinez, 11-1. Chris Davis, plus 1,100 as well. Mike Trout, also 11-1. Nolan Arenado, 16-1. Bryce Harper, 20. Man, I think Bryce Harper had 38 home runs last year. And I was in Washington, and I know that his career numbers are crazy in that ballpark in Philadelphia. Guys, he crushes the ball there. It's a hitter's park. Bryce Harper at 20-1. Pretty fat odds right there. I'm sort of thinking Aaron Judge. I like Nolan Arenado because of the altitude. and the fact that he's a badass player. And then you get Bryce Harper at 20-1. That's a pretty big odds for Harper as well, George.
Yeah, I might be worried about Harper might hit 230, 240 because he's trying to do too much to justify that contract, especially in front of the Philadelphia fans. But if they're not booing him out of the state, I don't see how he doesn't hit 40-plus. I don't. It may come with a poor average, but that's a bandbox. He hits home runs in Washington. He can miss hit balls in Philadelphia, and they'll go out the left. They'll go out. So I like Harper here as well, although I am leaning towards Arenado. But the more we talk about this, the more I like Harper. I love Judge in the American League, by the way. He's got that new two-strike approach where he just lifts his leg up. He's going to hit 50-plus.
You know, it's crazy. Bryce Harper, FanDuel has a prop up. Bryce Harper total season home runs over under 33.5. I think he goes over.
Over.
I agree. I think he's going to be in the 40s. Going to be in the 40s. Thanks, George. George Kurtz.
Have a good one, Kurtz.
Anytime, guys.
Rob Vito comes up after Cam's update.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Yang. I'm Cam Stewart, your Fantasy Sports Radio update. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft pleading not guilty to all charges against him. The Chargers are two counts of soliciting prostitution in Florida back in the month of February. Kraft has requested a jury trial and also waived his arraignment that was slated for this Thursday. Mets fans very happy. They're not happy about the Syracuse incident, the plane on the tarmac, but they got their guy, Jared DeGrom, getting paid. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Their five-year extension worth $137.5 million. The contract begins in 2019, including a full non-trade clause. It contains both an opt-out for 2020 and then a $34.5 million option for 2024. The deal similar to Chris Sale's deal. DeGrom, the reigning NL Cy Young winner, 10-9, but 1.7 ERA, 0.91 whip. Fantastic numbers. The Mets rotation looking nice. The Cubs have agreed to a four-year extension for pitcher Kyle Hendricks, the 29-year-old coming off a 14-11 season, 3.44 ERA, and 1.15 whip. He tossed a career-high 199 innings despite losing some velocity. Major League Baseball suspended San Francisco Giants president and CEO Larry Bear through July 1st without pay. The suspension stems from a physical altercation between Bear and his wife, which was caught on video back on March 1st. Hey, Conor McGregor, the problem still lingering, this time in his home country. The fighter under investigation in his home country of Ireland for sexual assault dating back to December. Earlier today, he also called it quits from MMA in a surprise late-night tweet. The controversial fighter leaving a late-night tweet to say goodbye to the fight game. It isn't the first time McGregor has taken to Twitter to retire. Remember, back in April of 2016, the former two-division champ tweeted that he would retire young, but only to be fighting twice 6 months later after the tweet. McGregor also arrested earlier this month for allegedly smashing a man's phone outside a Miami Beach hotel. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. A lot of problems for McGregor right now. He is the former lightweight and featherweight champ with a 21-4 record. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones doesn't seem to be sweating up locking DeMarcus Lawrence long-term. Remember, Dallas placing that franchise tag on the star defensive end for a second straight year, and the two parties have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal. The 26-year-old had 64 tackles, 10.5 sacks, and 2 forced fumbles during the 2018 season. The Jets have officially put the number 3 overall pick on the trading block. New York did trade up last year, remember, to land quarterback Sam Darnold, and it cost them 3 second-round picks, including their second rounder this year. It looks like these guys want to stockpile some assets, and the phone lines are open when they're the Jets. Gabe, we talked about this one. Gronk's future now available on sports books. So they've listed some jobs for Gronk in retirement. Basically, the favorite right now, 150 to become a professional wrestler, NFL broadcaster, 2-1. Actor sits at 5-1, and male stripper, the big time pooch, 50-1 if Gronk becomes a stripper. NCAA hoop tournament still on the go. NIT action. Number 6, Wichita State. Number 1 seed, Indiana. The Hoosiers -4, -138. Number 2, Creighton. Cheap, cheap, cheap. The Blue Jays at number 1, TCU. Horned Frogs -3.5, -151. Here's the rest of the board. Charleston Southern takes on Hampton.
Hampton's a 2-point favorite. 157 is your over-under. Presbyterian takes on the Marshall Thundering Herd. Right now, Thundering Herd minus 5.5, 168.5. And FIU, Florida International at Green Bay. Green Bay, a 4-point favorite. Huge total. Huge. 149. We saw a horrible injury last night in Portland from Yusef Nurkic. But after that loss, he's going to be done for the season. But the Blazers did clinch a 6th straight playoff berth. They're 4th in the West at 46-27. Let's go through the NBA board tonight. Hectic night. 10 games on the bill. Boston at Cleveland. Boston minus 5, 216. San Antonio minus 4 at Charlotte. 221 year over under. Orlando at the Miami Heat. Heat minus 4.5, 205. Chicago at Toronto. The Raptors laying 13.5, 219.5 is your over under. Atlanta minus 2.5 at New Orleans. High total in this one, 242. Houston at Milwaukee. The Bucks laying 3.5, 224. LA Clippers minus 2.5 at Minnesota, 231. Sacramento, they're minus 1.5 point favorites at Dallas, 226. Denver hosting Detroit. The Nuggets 7.5, 212. And the Washington Wizards are at the Lakers. Lakers minus 2. 236.5. Tomorrow, golf starts a little bit early. Group set for Wednesday's match play tournament at Austin Country Club. Tiger Woods is back. He makes his return. A 3-time winner in this event. He'll tee it up against Patrick Cantlay. Brant Snedeker and Aaron Wise are in his group. NHL, the Tampa Bay Lightning have signed head coach John Cooper to a multi-year extension. The man deserves it. What a year. Tampa Bay on fire. They lead the league with 122 points, 20 more points than the second-best team, and they have 5 games remaining in the regular season. Bad news for the Islanders. Forward Andrew Ladd's going to be done for the season, out at least 5 months with a torn ACL. 7 games on the ice tonight. We'll break them all down during the DFS gambling hour at 6 o'clock, but stick around. Mr. Vino, like a fine wine, he's got picks. Me, Gabe, and Vino are going to break down the college basketball card. So stick around, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart. He's Gabe Morenci, the host. More Red Heat and Rage Radio coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Game time decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio. This really isn't the plane the Mets took, is it? It's got to be a joke. Drewzilla just sent me a picture of the movie Major League. That's good. Well, I don't know. Wouldn't surprise me if they rented the same plane on the cheap from the movie set. So, all right, we're into level two here. Rob Vino is going to join us. We're going to talk some gambling, get into some gaming here. We got a little bit of everything on the program. We just talked some baseball props. We just talked some baseball props with George Kurtz. We're going to talk some.
I got a good one for you.
Sweet 16. What do you got for us?
Gabe, I wanted to give this to the listeners. I kind of wanted to keep it low, like kind of when you had the bet or when things change lines and stuff like that. But basically, if you can find it, a couple books have kept up Scooter Gennett home runs, 23.5. He's out for 3 months. Like George and I have talked about it. At best case scenario, we did the math on the weekend show, and we're thinking anywhere between like 16 and 18, like a good. Like, that's a generous number, and he's getting a 23.5 and out for three months. So a couple books haven't made the adjustment yet. It might be time to go get a PaySafe card and pull the trigger.
Well, I told you, I like the Cincinnati Reds over the number this year, yet this injury doesn't help. And,
nope.
The total might be a little high for the Cincinnati Reds. It might be a case where, you bet on the Reds, but do I really want to take the Reds to win 79 games this year? It's a lot of wins for the Reds, 79.
Oh, it is. A lot of overs, though, because when you look at the Reds, they have great hitters. You talk about Puig coming there. A lot of guys on the team, they could really slap it around. Matt Kemp, great American ballpark, too. Mew, that ball flies out of there. So, but I look at their pitching
Suarez,
staff.
Dude, they got a lethal line. No, dude, they're pitching. Oh. I'm telling you, their rotation is better. The rotation is better this year. They traded Homer. Dope. Bailey. I can't believe I got to deal with Homer Bailey as a Dodger now, man. I can't believe he's a Dodger, this kid.
Don't worry. I thought they just made that deal to get rid of him, but he's sticking around. Good old
Everyone's
Homer.
Everyone's hurt. Good old Homer.
Homer, hey, he's the fifth starter. But, yeah, they still got some weakness in the bullpen.
No, but listen.
The Reds will score runs.
I'm just saying, Cam, as opposed to what the Reds had, Alex Wood doesn't suck. You got Alex Wood. You got Tanner Roark. And you got you bring in Sonny Gray. And I'm telling you, like Sonny Gray said, it was all the Yankees' fault. They were making a pitch, the pitches you didn't want to pitch.
Blame the Yankees.
I was born in NDG. Born in NDG. Did my first B&E at the age of 3.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, game time decision. Ready to rage our radio, iHeartRadio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, now on YouTube as well. I'm Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down with Cam Stewart. We're in New York. He's in Toronto. To be honest, I think, is Rob in Las Vegas? I don't know, but I know that he's aging like a fine wine. It's been too long since we've spoken to Rob Vino. We used to speak routinely in the old days. Years ago, but that's why he's so good. That's why he's lasted so long, because he's so good. Rob Vino joins us, Wager Talk, Rob Vino Sports. Rob, good to have you back. How you doing, Rob?
I am doing great today, Gabe. How about yourself?
Hey, good stuff. I see you on Twitter, but it's good to hear your voice. Good to catch up with you and talk some sports, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Since the old Sports Memo days, still with Sports Memo out of Las Vegas now in the southeastern corner of Pennsylvania outside of Philadelphia. So, these games go on, right, buddy? We keep handicapping them. They keep coming.
Yeah, it's like they say, Rob. I don't know who coined the phrase, but somebody said they play the national anthem every night. I don't know who came up with that, but it was a degenerate gambler. It's basically like, there's another game, man. They play the national anthem every night. So, we've spoken to quite a few people today, sort of more mainstream guys. Eric Montross, who does, he's North Carolina's guy now. Dick Vitale. We're going to replay the interview later that we spoke with Dick earlier in the day. But I look forward to getting a Capper's perspective here. Before we jump into the Sweet 16, anything on the card tonight that catches your eye? NIT, we got Wichita State and Indiana. We've got what else is on the board here tonight? Creighton, TCU, some CBI games. Any thoughts on the tournament games tonight?
Yeah, I think if you're just looking for a situational edge, guys, that Presbyterian Marshall game, the way that those lower rung tournaments force teams to travel, and in this case, Marshall's only played one game in 7 days. They haven't played since the 19th. Where Presbyterians in their third road game inside this tournament just played one a couple of days ago. I think if you're looking for tired legs, you might look at Presbyterian being that team. Of course, the counter argument to that is, with 7 days off, will Marshall be rusty or rested? I probably prefer, generally speaking, to have the rested home team in that instance. So, Marshall, we've seen a bump from the opener of 5 up to -6 now. Pretty much agree with that. I think Marshall should be the right side in that game.
And we saw, Rob, we saw last night, Cam, the teams that already got a win under their belt on the road, Rob, they paid the price last night. Brown went on the road, then they went out on the West Coast. They couldn't do it. We saw Norfolk State. Norfolk State went on the road, then they went all the way out to Boulder. They couldn't do it. And I was concerned about that, and I brought it up last night, Rob, that these aren't NBA teams, right? College teams, they're used to taking buses within their conference. And then, okay, maybe they take a couple, they take a couple of plane rides. The bigger schools take plane rides. But when you get these kids flying around the country geographically all over the place, it really catches up to them, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Presbyterian guys had to fly to Seattle. Couldn't be a further trip to the Northwest for their opener inside their tournament. you know, Brown, their leading scorer, walks off the team before the tournament starts. It finally caught up with them. They got a home win. But then, like you say, when they have to travel to Loyola, they get whacked. And a lot of these teams that are home favorites in the first round, they just have to get by and survive the first round. And then they see the championship at the end of the rainbow, and they start to play a little bit. So there's a lot of situational stuff that goes on inside NIT, CIT, CBI that doesn't really go on in the NCAA tournament as far as handicapping angles are concerned.
All right, let's jump into the Sweet 16, and I'll throw it to Cam to throw some games at you. I'll start with the first game up on the board, Florida State and Gonzaga. The Seminoles, a very, very trendy team this week. It seems like everyone's sort of a week late. I was all over FSU against Murray State. I thought that the Ja Morant hype had beat the number down a little bit and Murray State had become that trendy team. But now it almost seems like the roles are reversed. It's up to 7.5 right now. What's your take on this FSU and Gonzaga game, Rob?
Yeah, you know, all the assets that FSU brings to the table, and they're repeated over and over again because they're true. Their depth, their length, their quickness, all of those things might be negated by this opponent. Gonzaga matches up real well against this Florida State team. I don't know that FSU gets away with having a 10-man rotation or having the long arms to get into passing lanes. Get the team in Gonzaga, which has the very same thing. And when you're bringing Killian Tilly off the bench, 6'11", shooting three-pointers, that's a very good matchup for Gonzaga. I think everything Florida State does well and usually has advantages over opponents with, like I said, I think it gets negated here. The price tag, it's probably in a good spot. I mean, for my power ratings, I made Gonzaga a 7.5-point favorite, and that's where they sit right now on a neutral. So I think the line is fair. I just think Gonzaga is a superior team, and they do what FSU does, except they do it better.
Hey, Rob, I got to say, we got to be impressed with Purdue, Gabe. We also talked about, we thought maybe at the start a little bit overrated, but so far in the tournament with two games under the belt, they've looked good. Tennessee, on the other hand, hey, they had a 25-point lead against Iowa. Rob slipped it, had to go to overtime to win, but they were a number one team in the nation earlier on in the voting polls. But Tennessee now 1.5. They can't make those type of mistakes, but it seems like a short number because they do have the talent there, Rob. Interesting game between Tennessee and Purdue.
Yeah, it really is. Matchups are interesting here, guys. And I'll say this, that South region, when the committee put that thing together, the 16 teams, when you went through it prior to the start of the tournament, 10 of the 16 teams ranked 277 or lower in KenPom tempo ratings. It was the slowest region I've ever seen. You start rattling off the teams and all they do is play methodical basketball. And Purdue's beaten two opponents that play that way. They got through Old Dominion, and they got through Villanova, two teams that rank in the 300s in tempo. But that's not the case with Tennessee, a team that – one of the few teams in that region that likes to get up and down the floor, that has athletes. I think there's a couple of huge matchups here. One that favors Purdue in the person of Ryan Klein, a 6'6 shooting guard who's going to have a real height advantage over whoever plays him. It looks like Lamont Turner will have to play him at 6'1", and I think Lamont Turner on the other end could be an X factor in this game. But if we're just going to talk, let's just talk what we do here, handicap and bet these games. How about Tennessee being 16-2 over the total outside of Knoxville this season? I mean, they just keep rattling off over after over after over. 6-0 in their last six, third most efficient offense in the land. You know, I got to believe that 146 might be approachable for these two teams because Purdue can shoot it. But I do agree with you guys that Tennessee, that number of 1.5 to me looks a little bit shy too. Not because there's a ton of value in it, just because of the way these two match up.
The over is what caught my eye when I initially crunched the numbers of these opening games. I'm interested in your take here with Texas Tech and Michigan. Texas Tech have really bullied their way. Physical kids, tough kids, play a real, like, you know, street ball brand of defense. Very, very challenging. Yet Michigan practice against this. Michigan also come from the Big Ten, where they play a lot of smash mouth teams, specifically Michigan State. Stylistically, how do you see this matchup? Michigan have the pedigree. Very few coaches. I don't know. Beilein might be the best coach in NCAA that's never won a championship, in my opinion. When you consider what he's done, he's gotten there, you know, the championships, the Final Fours. You got this Texas Tech team that a lot of people think are a real sleeper and that are going to be too physically imposing for the Michigan Wolverines. The Michigan could have a hard time manufacturing points in this basketball game. What's your take, Rob?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to disagree with any of that. Both of these coaches bring defenses that are going to make life difficult on the opposing offenses. Chris Beard, an up-and-coming head coach that, you know, not nationally known by the casual basketball fan, but certainly those of us who follow the game have seen.
All right, sorry, Rob, sorry. If you can, just hang in here. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Rob Pino on the other side. Rob Pino Sports, you can follow him on Twitter. You can get him over at Wager Talk as well. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll keep on talking Sweet 16, Michigan, Texas Tech, and more on the other side.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Video here of Sean Payton talking about how he's a proponent of fantasy football. Says exciting. Everyone you know has skin in the game. Says Sean Payton. All right, we're kicking it with Rob Pino right now. Rob Pino Sports, wagertalk.com. We're talking Sweet 16. So, Rob, right before we went to the break, I asked you about Michigan and Texas Tech, two teams that have been getting it done with defense. Everyone talks about Virginia. I mean, there's so many similarities between the Michigan Wolverines and the Virginia Cavaliers. Except Michigan doesn't choke every year. But now they get Texas Tech. Interesting, interesting matchup. Very similar styles. A lot of time there's a contrast in styles. We have similar styles here. Who has the upper hand, in your opinion?
You know, when you go up and down the line here, guys, we started at head coach where Beilein does get a slight edge, but as mentioned before, Chris Beard, definitely an up-and-comer. When you go up and down the line, as far as the way they close the season, the way they go about their business, it just comes up evenly matched all the way through. Both of these teams are 12-5 against the spread in their last 17 games. In instances like this, you tend to look for who has the better three-point shooters. Can't really find an edge in that case. You look to see who is the better free throw shooting team. Dependent upon who's the line, you could call that equal. I might have to lean toward the pedigree of the conference this year. Texas Tech steamrolled through the Big 12, which was obviously down mostly in part to injury to so many teams, where Michigan, as we've seen with the Big 10, comes from a conference that has, you know, provided constant competition night in and night out. I'd probably lean towards John Beilein at this price, but it wouldn't be my favorite play on the board. Total is in a spot because of, you know, the style of these two teams, and I don't know that that total is really a good play either. But if I had to, I'd likely go under the number in this game.
Well, Rob, really low total in Oregon, Virginia, and Gabe mentioned it. The Virginia Cavaliers with the lockdown defense. After a terrible first half against Gardner-Webb, they've looked like the Cavalier team, played a lot looser, and in the second game came out and punched their opponents in the mouth early, playing a lot better. Oregon's been a nice story. Every time the commentators talk about the Pac-12, oh, this conference sucks. Well, they've won a couple games. Also a nice matchup against UC Irvine in their second game, but Virginia laying 8.5, low total 119. Rob, any thoughts on this one? Virginia should be able to get it done. I'm just worried about them covering the number.
Yeah, it's a large number in a defensive game for sure. Side and total usually do correlate in instances like this. It's funny, guys, because the first thing we look at where stumbling out of the blocks is concerned would be, as you mentioned, Virginia having the poor first half. Since that first half of their first game, they've outscored their opponents in the next three halves, 104-71, plus 33. Nice number. Oregon was tied at halftime 25-25 with Wisconsin. Since that point in time, they've outscored their opponents in the next three halves 120-80, plus 40. Even a little more impressive, the Cal Irvine game where they pulled away at the end. I think in this game, matchups do matter in this game. How about Oregon marches out four starters that are 6'9" that surround Peyton Pritchard, the point guard? 4'6" is a lot to deal with. And they're not necessarily just 6'9" stiffs. They're guys that are athletes and can move.
Very athletic.
Or Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Virginia, on the other hand, you know, they're going to unleash 5'5" Kahae Clark, point guard, on Peyton Pritchard and try and make his life miserable. I think Virginia, in my estimation, has the better shot makers. I think they got over the hurdle with that first half. But that all being said, I have a difficult time laying 8.5 here against Oregon. I just wonder when Oregon's gas tank will finally run out. You know, they're a little short on the bench as opposed to Virginia, and they're not as seasoned as Virginia. If I had to lean here, I'd probably go that way with UVA. But laying 8.5, as you guys said earlier, is a little bit difficult.
Rob Vino with us. All right, Rob, we'll get you out of this with this game. And for the rest of Rob's opinions on the other games, check him out on Twitter at Rob Vino Sports, wagertalk.com as well. Auburn and North Carolina, I don't know if you saw the interview with Coach Pearl, Rob, but he just told us, hey, take the over. And, you know, it's funny. It seems like what coaches tell us, we should listen. I don't know if you remember this year when Lane Kiffin said, oh, we're going to get killed at Nebraska when they opened up. And where did they open? At Oklahoma. Dan Patrick, it was Oklahoma this year. 2 years ago it was Nebraska. Dan Patrick said, how are you going to do in Oklahoma coach this year? He goes, oh, we'll probably really get killed pretty badly. And they did.
That smoke.
They ended up doing it. So Scott Van Pelt asked Coach Pearl, you know, what you get matching up against North Carolina. North Carolina could really get after it, and they can score. What kind of matchup are we looking at? And Bruce Pearl said, well, I'll tell you guys, just take the over here, because he said, we're going to run, and they're going to run. And he said, bet the over. So is it just too simple to bet the over here, Rob?
Yeah, you know, he didn't tell us anything that any of us didn't really already know. Everybody's going to run in that game. But it's funny. This morning, that number was 162.5. Since everybody's seen that interview, the number's now 165. Some
son of a bitch. So, he's like Michael Avenatti. He's moving stocks. Bruce Pearl.
Oh, I'm telling you. And you know what? It's the last tip-off of the Sweet 16, guys. So if it's already at 65, you can imagine where it's going to climb to by the time that game tips. I know, you know, the Hawaii game, Saturday Night College Football, is often referred to as the degenerate special. Certainly, this will be it for the Sweet 16, right? So everybody will be to the rack with over money by the time this game comes. It's hard to argue, but there's going to come a point where the number just doesn't provide any value anymore. I think sidewise, Auburn's been fantastic recently. They certainly have turned a corner. But I do worry about them guys on the glass here. If there's one thing that's held true about Roy Williams' teams over the years is they do pound the offensive glass. And it's nice to have Austin Wiley back for Auburn, but they still don't rebound. And if UNC rebounds and runs, I could see them being the team that puts together the 12-0 string over the course of 90 seconds or the 14-0 string over the course of 2 minutes, something like that, that separates them from Auburn here. I think if I had to, I'd be on the North Carolina side. And we'll see where that total goes. Funny, I was on a podcast earlier where I was saying, you know, it was 62.5 at the time. And if you want to play over, play it now. Well, we're a few hours since that podcast, and we've already seen, like I say, a 2.5-point increase in that total.
Yeah, it's as the late, great Dave Malinsky used to say, Gabe, we're going to need a real clean ride to get there. Once you start to get to these numbers, man, it's like horse racing, Cam, right? Me and Cam know all too well, you need a clean ride around the track.
If that line, Rob, keeps on going up, Gabe, I'd probably say take the under in that game, because you know in these games the lines are sharp, and it's not going to be the consensus. You know, people love to take overs over unders. Like, if they keep on smashing it over, I think the best move would be going under. I get it. I see 165, too. If it gets up to, like, 168 or something, we might have to take a look, Marenzi. Yeah. I know it's not in your DNA, but you like overs, but I don't know. We might have to keep digging with the under.
I can't disagree. I can't disagree with that analysis. Rob, it's great to have you back in a rotation. I look forward to doing this again with you. We encourage people to follow Rob on Twitter, Rob Vino Sports on Twitter. And, of course, check him out over at Wager Talk, and you can find all his work on Twitter as well. Wealth of information. Great to have you back on board, Rob. Thanks for the time, man.
Guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Have a good week.
There's Rob Vino with us. Rob Vino kicking to us. Great to have Rob back. Some nice nice insight there, Cam. And yeah, so Bruce Pearl says take the over in that game. We got some great Sweet 16 matchups this year. That Houston and Kentucky game is going to be a hell of a matchup. Man, Kentucky are laying 2.5. I think Houston can get it done there, Cam. Virginia
Tech. I really
Tech
hope so. I really hope so, Gabe. I need Houston. That's a big game for me. Just for the bracket pool that I have, we have Houston going really far. We have Houston going far. So a Houston Cougar win would be good. Cougars over Wildcats, buddy. That one's really important. And I'd like to see Duke lose outright to Virginia Tech. They're a 7-point favorite. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm really scared now, Morenci. I've seen this movie before in the tournament. The team that gets the hardest scare always finds a way. Yeah. Oh, we had that crazy game. Oh, we hit this 3-pointer to win. Or, you know, they stopping UCF scares me. We don't need to give Duke any ammunition. Man, I really wish UCF took care of business. But I might take the points. We'll see. And, yeah, your North Carolina bet, man. We both have two. We have the two other ACC teams. You need North Carolina. I need Virginia. So we want Duke. Bye-bye, Gabe. We need them gone. He gone.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Duke because Duke's not in my way until the national title game.
Okay.
I can't concern myself with Duke.
I can't
concern myself with Duke.
I just want them gone. Makes things a lot easier every round. We get more points.
Well, you already wished ill will on them. Why don't you do it again?
I just did. Yeah, you're right. I didn't want Zion to get hurt, but yeah, I got ill will on Duke. I should have done it for the UCF game. Billy the doorman, he's hilarious. So the guy's such a mush. Like, he's one of those guys, Gabe. Like, on Sunday, he calls me. He texts me. Oh, I should have bet Nick Taylor top 20. The minute he says it, triple bogey. I go, I don't mean to be rude, but, like, don't do those things. He's like, oh, yeah, Duke in big trouble here. They win. Like, you know what I mean? It's like we talked about before. We can't change what's going to happen. I just don't like it. Talk to me after the game. Like, oh, we should have done it. I go, dude, it's the guy's only on the 15th hole. 3 over, 23rd, done. Yeah, I'm just not a big fan of that stuff, Gabe. You know how I roll. I just don't like when people do it.
You know what's amazing to me is the fact that, I do it all the time. I mush teams. I'm the kiss of death.
I do. I'm the kiss of death, too. I'm just.
I jumped on a Canadiens bandwagon. I think they lost like 6 in a row after I said, wow, this team's really good this year.
Yeah, it happens. Oh, yeah. By the way, I'll give you credit, though. Like, my hockey bets, I had Dallas night. That's a sharp pick. That was good. Tampa Bay came back and won, but Gabe, my parlay playing puke, you warned me. Two biggest underdogs win again. San Jose loses to Detroit. Oh, unbelievable. You called it, man. You just can't take favorites this time of the year. Doesn't work. But
there's always one. I can't believe it, man. The Red Wings. They're 4-1 their last 5 games now.
Oh, I know. I know. If we're betting them, we'd be rich. They're plus 350 every damn game.
Nick Vitale coming up next.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, the morning after continues. Fantasy Sports Radio and Television Network, Sports Byline, Affiliates, iHeart, YouTube, and everything else in between. We appreciate you joining us. It's been a real fun show already today. We were fortunate enough to have Eric Montrose on the program, national champion with the North Carolina Tar Heels. We had Rob Ninkovich on the show with us, two-time Super Bowl champion, and now we're joined by the legend himself,
one of my favorite all-time broadcasters and a voice, a personality, and a face that's synonymous with the game that he loves so much. Dickie V, Dick Vitale, joins us. Dick, good morning. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us this morning.
Good morning, guys. It's a beautiful, there's a lot of noise where I'm at. I'm in a restaurant. I'm sitting outside in about 77-degree weather down in beautiful Sarasota, Bradenton area, just relaxing, having some brunch. Now I'm heading out to Miami, where I got a big speaking engagement I have to do. I'm down here at the famous Breakers Resort. Not a bad way to live, huh?
Yeah, so in other words, you're saying life's good, Dick, this morning.
Life's pretty good. You get paid for doing what you want to do. I mean, I'll be sitting at courtside for the finals and the semifinals of the tournament down here in Minneapolis, get a check for doing it. My boss is just supposed to be smarter than it. If they would only understand. Man, I'd do that for nothing. Are you kidding me?
That's funny. It's funny you say that, Coach, because I know, and I was talking about this earlier, and I respect the hell out of you for your honesty about the game and you and Jay Billis. And, you know, I was talking earlier about, you can love, a lot of people love the game and want to protect the game. You can love the game and want to correct the game. And you just said, hey, I'd do this for free. And we always hear, but, you can't pay the kids. You can't pay the kids at all. And I wonder what the coaches do it for free. Do they love it as much as you do and as much as the players do, right? And then I guess we'd see how much they love it.
Well, you know, many of those coaches chasing dreams started out. In fact, I put a picture up just yesterday. I had found a picture. I called it the Jersey Boys. A picture of Hubie Brown, myself, Richie Adubato, and Mike Fratello. And we call ourselves the Jersey Boys because we're all high school coaches. None of us ever thought about making, you know, the kind of money we've made. All we did was want to coach. I remember I used to tease Hubie. I used to pay Hubie $25 and a bologna sandwich to speak at my camp, and he was excited to get it. And, you know, you do it, but, you know, there's no doubt about it. I mean, let's face it. The game right now has major problems. It has major problems, and I trust those yesterday, and I'll trust them again. There's a great article. Luke DeCock really did a terrific article quoting me on various things I talked about in today's News Observer down there in when you go to Raleigh-Durham. And Luke was 100% right with some of the things he quoted me about, that the game has come, realization has set in that players deserve to get money. Years ago, you know, we thought Olympics, amateur, amateur, amateur. But they came down, got realistic, and eventually paid guys money to be there. And the bottom line is, a kid like Zion, different great players, they deserve that cash, and they deserve it legally, not under the table.
Love that. Dickie V, I got to ask you, it is the 40th anniversary of what a lot of people consider the first time, the creation of March Madness. You're looking at Michigan State taking on Indiana State, happened back in 1979, and I think a lot of people, they don't understand the significance of what that game meant. It was the most watched game to this day in the country. Can you talk a little bit about what made that game so great and on college basketball moving forward?
Well, I think the impact it had because you got the kid from French Lick, Indiana, carrying a team like Indiana State, mid-major school, unbeaten season. Larry Bird started to become a household name, and everybody had heard of Magic, Irvin Johnson, what he was doing for his local team where he grew up as a kid out there at Michigan State. So it became drama big time to see those guys go head-to-head. And I think that certainly started the impact. And then also in 1979 came this network, ESPN. Came in 79 after that game, was not part of that game, but we came in existence like in October. And I did the very first game in the history of ESPN, which I'll take to my grave with me and proud of.
So who played?
December 5.
Who played, Coach? Who was the first game that you did on ESPN?
DePaul in Wisconsin. It was the great DePaul team with Mark McGuire and those guys against a Wisconsin team with Wes Matthews, whose son right now is playing in the NBA.
Yeah, wow. And, you know, Coach, it's funny you say that. And I'm 48 years old right now, and I grew up.
Wow, 40. Yeah, I wish I was 40.
I feel
you got to reverse your numbers and you get close to me.
But growing up.
You know what? I guarantee you, you're going to find many guys my age with my energy and enthusiasm.
Oh, God.
I guarantee you that.
I hope I'm doing as well as you, Coach, at your age. I hope I'm going to Hooters and killing it and going to breakfast in Miami and watching basketball all day. But.
And like, speaking at a big convention for some of the top financial advisors. And, you know, when I speak, if I, I have a goal when I give a speech. I mean, obviously, you're paid a lot of money, but number one, number two, my goal, though, it's not about the money, because realistically, I make a great living at ESPN. I speak and do it because I love speaking. I love getting a chance to share some of my feelings and things I believe in about the game of life, about chasing dreams, about coming from, you know, really, I came from nowhere, man. I came from a home that was filled with lots of love, lots of affection. My mother and father were uneducated, fifth grade education, but they had a doctorate of love. And they taught my brother, sister, and I in this great country, if you want to get ahead, you got to have a passion and a sense of pride about what you do. And I've tried to do that all my life. And I would share with you that I found has been such a key in my life. I mean, my life, let's face it, you know, the chapter's coming to an end. And it'll be a sad time for me when that ends. I'm a little choked up thinking about that. But the bottom line is, let me tell you, I learned at home on my dinner table every day. I would hear from my mother and father, uneducated people, but people with hearts of gold, always about their family. Let me tell you, they would say, Richie, it was never Dick. Richie, be good to people, and people will be good to you. And, man, I'm in 14 Hall of Fames. I'm getting the Lifetime Achievement Award, the highest honor by the Emmys. Why? Why? Because people have been good to me. And I like to think I've been good to people. I've always tried to extend a hand. I've tried to never have any hate. We got too much hate in our country. We need more love.
Now, we've had people in our chat and on Twitter that said they met you, and they're like, he's the same person with the same passion. And there's a reason why you're around, and you have been around Dick Vitale with us, getting emotional, and we appreciate his honesty. And I was going to say, Dick, like, I'm 48, and, you know, to me, and I said earlier, synonymous with college basketball and ESPN, the success of the network that was brought up. And college basketball, to me, the first announcer that turned me on to the game was Al McGuire. And I was like, man, this guy, he tells it like it is. And he had the suits. And, you know, I remember growing up watching DePaul games with my Coach Meyer and on NBC and John Wooden. But, you know, through the 80s, Coach, being a Michigan fan in the old days, Glenn Rice, Ramil Robinson, Loy Vaught, you know, Terry Mills, and, you know, Bobby Knight, and so many games, Coach, that you deserve the honors that you get. I say you're like Keith Jackson. Your voice is synonymous with the sport that we love so much.
Well, I'm going to say this. I know I'll get real choked up when I receive that award, because I never looked at it that I'm a broadcaster. I always thought that I was just a jock, gave me a microphone, and certainly just gave me a chance to talk about a game I love. But when you mentioned the name Keith Jackson, that list of who's in or has received the Lifetime Achievement Award just blows me away. And to think my name will be with them, or I'll be the second analyst that's on that list. The first one is great John Madden. But on the list is Keith Jackson, Howard Cosell, Brett Musburger, I mean, Jack Buck, the living Scully, and Dick Vitale.
It's like a Mount Rushmore.
I mean, I pinch myself. I said, when they called and told me, I said, you can't be serious, man. I violate every rule in podcasting. I said, but you know what? Some guys better try it because it's worked.
Coach, one of my favorite lines I ever heard you say, that's a horrible call. I have one eye, and I knew that was a bad call.
Yeah, it's true. I got one eye. I wish I was lying. I wish I had two.
So before I get you out of here, Coach, and man, I'm really getting choked up now as we're with the legend, Dick Vitale. How do you think this tournament plays out? It's a tournament of blue bloods, and we just had Eric Montrose on earlier in the program. We've never had a Duke North Carolina championship game before, Dick. Is it a possibility this year? How do you see this playing out?
Well, it's definitely a possibility. Both teams are really such high level. I said before the tournament started on Selection Sunday, I said it's going to be a year of the chalk. And everybody laughed at me. And I picked when I did my selections, I had my first all my picks were in the first and second round, second seeds. And I felt that way. I felt there's a separation with the top eight and the rest of the field. Not much of a separation, but there's a separation. And a Carolina-Duke thing is a very possible scenario, but they got to take care of business. I mean, they survived in advance against Central Florida, Duke. I mean, really, your heart felt for those kids at Central Florida who played a brilliant game. Johnny Dawkins' stock went off the charts after that game, the way he prepared his team and his post game, the way he handled it. He didn't complain at the end about, you know, should have been a foul on Williamson, should have been, I mean, you could say should he this, should he that, shoulders don't make it. And the bottom line is it's in the book, it's a win. And Duke survived, as Jimmy V used to say, key in the tournament. You must survive in advance. It'll be a game along the way that'll be an incredible challenge. And maybe that was Duke's challenge, even though I think Virginia Tech presents some problems, especially now that Justin Robinson's back. But when Virginia Tech beat Duke, Zion Williams didn't play. So now you got the trade. Zion Williamson, Justin Robinson. I don't know. I like that kid Zion, man.
Dick Vitale with us. Dick, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. And it's always, I always look forward to talking to you. And you know, as we stated earlier, there's a reason why you're as beloved. You treat people with kindness, and you know, you get more than kindness back. You get love from everyone across the board. And it's been great having you on the program this morning, Dick.
Well, thank you. You guys can do me one favor. I think many of you know I'm obsessed now with raising money for kids battling cancer. I got a brand new book out right now. If you go to my website, Dick Vitale Online, you'll see it right there on my website. It's my Mount Rushmore's of college basketball, my 40 years at ESPN. We made the number one. We reached the number one list on Amazon in terms of the SA Sportsbooks list.
We're going to get that up on the website for you, Dick. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game time decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. We apologize. Although everything was fine on radio, I guess we had a little issue on YouTube there.
Great stuff, Gabe. That was really good stuff with Vitale.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah, Dick Vitale's the man.
Great job. You and Joe did a great job, like getting him open up like that. Like, I know he's a pretty flamboyant guy, but those were some great old stories, too. And I ever told you this story, but Mark Aguirre was one of my favorite players when everyone else liked different guys. I'm kind of, you know me, Gabe, I'm a little bit different, and one of my favorite players to play the game. I remember the Converse All-Stars. I wanted the Mark Aguirre version instead of, like, you know, the Magic or anybody else. I used to love that guy. In my opinion, one of the more underrated college and NBA players, Mark Aguirre.
Yeah, he was Aguirre was you know what? He wasn't the nicest guy. That's why he doesn't get
good player.
Yeah, he doesn't get the love. He doesn't get the love. But all right, so hey, it is what it is. It was on the radio. That's all good. Still frustrating, nevertheless. You know, you get Dick Vitale on, and the audio doesn't work during Dick Vitale's interview. It's like the audio would have been better if the audio didn't work for us.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Great stories, though. I enjoyed it. No, you and Ranieri did a great job, man. Like, he's a legend. You talk about it. Those were great stories. And I remember that stuff, too, man. Like, I like the good – I don't want to, like, wax poetic about the past, but there was just a different era of college and NBA then. It was just a lot more – I don't know how you say, Gabe – a lot more fun. Today's era is just about – and Dick Vitale said it – about negativity and stupid stories and whatever. We need more just fun happiness and enjoy the games for what they are instead of always busting people's balls on social media all the time. Gets annoying.
Well, speaking of negativity, there's going to be a lot of negativity in New York right now because we've got breaking news out of Cleveland. So, of course, Odell Beckham got traded to the Cleveland Browns for a first-round pick, third-round pick, and Jabril Peppers. Except WEWS Cleveland is reporting, On Your Side investigators have confirmed that the National Football League is requesting information from the Cleveland Police Department concerning two incidents earlier this year and former Brown safety Jabril Peppers' role in both these incidences developing. Yeah, imagine like Gettleman, man. You know, listen, Gettleman already comes across like he's in over his head. The New York Giant brass already seems like they're kind of clueless as it is. Now, if you throw in the fact, I mean, they were boasting about getting Jabril Peppers in this deal.
That's true.
Now, I got to be honest with you, though. Is it, it's kind of, I don't know, Cleveland can say we didn't know about this, right?
Yeah, but it's a Giants problem now.
Yeah, that's the thing. It is the Giants problem.
Like, you know, yeah, what I mean? Like, we're you and I aren't like, he is a New York football Giant.
Yeah,
the season
hasn't started yet. I know, you can't turn a trade back, but we got a problem now.
It's done. Stamped.
So what, this is like you and mine, $1,000 bet that we proved that the women were better, but an hour later only. You said, I'm gone. I drove away.
First of all, it's my $1,000. Remember, I won by a point percentage. It wasn't a clean win, but yeah.
No, but Jay Slick said after, no, it was wrong.
Wow. Oh, no, I thought he said we did it all. I thought, it was NCAA women, men.
It turned out the original study was wrong, and he sent a more factual recent one from the New York Times that proved the women were actually better.
Well, don't ask me for $1,000 because I thought I was.
you said that.
I said I wasn't paying anyway. Yeah, that's the thing. If I'll give you $1,000 if I lose a legitimate bet, but don't expect any transfers coming your way.
Yeah, it seems unethical, though, the Cleveland Browns to be trading players that are under investigation.
Hey, great move by the Browns, I could say. Excellent. It's a Giants problem now. What a train wreck. Imagine Peppers gets in a... It's almost like Gettleman's like a WWE guy. He's like, is he trying to, like, screw his own brand? Like, who's he playing for?
Dave Peppers says he could do it.